Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarion Styles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarion can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway. And was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Pues bueno, nosotros nos encontramos en San Basilio de Palenque, primer pueblo negro libre de América. Es una comunidad que tiene una lengua propia, tiene su música propia, sus diferentes manifestaciones culturales, mejor libro de cocina del mundo, en fin. Entonces tiene una riqueza cultural que hemos heredado de africanos y eso nos hace feliz, contentos, estar aquí libres hoy en este pedazo de África en Colombia.
San Basilio de Palenque is a small Colombian village bursting with pride and with reason. It was the first free slave settlement in the Americas. In 2011, Palenque gave birth to the musical group called Combiles Ami, meaning my friends in the native Palenquero language. Andrés Padilla Julio, known as Afroneto, is the director and the leader of the group.
Hoy Combiles Ami es la agrupación que hace un género llamado RFP, que quiere decir rap folclórico palenquero, con sus instrumentos tradicionales, tambor alegre, llamador, marímbula, maraca, tamboras, lengua palenquera, y narrando la vivencia propia de la comunidad.
Que le dio su mía ahí cuadrada para montar, la música.
Combiles Ami is a hip-hop group made up of musicians, singers, and rappers celebrating their unique culture.
Entendí que es una de las manifestaciones culturales que transversalizan la vida del palenquero desde el nacimiento hasta la muerte. La música es muy importante para los palenqueros. Esa es uno de los objetivos principales de la banda Combiles Ami. Mantener, difundir y preservar las manifestaciones culturales de San Basilio de Palenque.
Compa, actívense, alí, ¿qué hay? Pónganse pila, vamos a ensayar.
All the music is played and recorded live on traditional musical instruments. The lyrics are in the native Palenquero language, a Spanish-based creole spoken only in Colombia.
Nosotros desde niños siempre hemos estado en procesos culturales, ¿ya? Y ahí nos han enseñado que la lengua no es un castellano mal hablado como muchas personas han dicho. Desde ese punto de vista, nosotros nos esmeramos y quisimos aprender para que no se perdiera y para que nosotros en la actualidad hoy pudiéramos enseñar a niños y jóvenes de la comunidad. Y yo precisamente vi que era una manera de fortalecerla a través de la música.
When the group isn't performing, they are doing social work, teaching children their history, language, and music.
Si fueron profesores que me enseñaron a mí sin yo pagar un peso. Entonces yo lo que dije fue, bueno, tenemos que hacer lo mismo. Vamos a trabajar con los niños comunitariamente sin nada a cambio. Que el pago sea su sonrisa, que el pago sea la gratitud que los padres de ellos te vean en la calle y está trabajando con mi niño. Entonces de allí nace la intención de trabajar por la comunidad y también para que no se pierdan esas manifestaciones culturales que están contempladas dentro del patrimonio de San Basilio de Palenque.
Keila Reina Miranda Pérez, known as KRMP, brings in the feminine sounds to Combi Les Ami.
Siempre trato de mostrar la caracterización de la mujer palenquera donde voy. Siempre estoy así, siempre estoy con no sé, como con ese vestido de lucha. Pues no, ahí siempre estoy trabajando por fortalecer nuestra identidad cultural y pensando siempre en la igualdad.
Identidad, sangre negra, macuagro, hijo palenque.
With Combi Les Ami, Kayla works directly with more than 70 kids in Palenque. She says she hopes to empower through music and action, instilling pride of their African heritage.
Que ustedes nunca lleguen a rizar su pelo porque consideren que su pelo es un problema. Ha visto tanta discriminación por nuestro pelo que muchas veces nosotros decidimos derrizarnos el pelo porque hay mucha gente que no conoce y no acepta nuestro pelo natural. El pelo fue tan importante que en él se pudo dibujar el mapa de guía para llegar a la libertad. Los negros esclavizados, las negras esclavizadas dibujaron mapas en la cabeza con nuestro pelo para así poder escapar del yugo español. Entonces nosotros también quisimos hacer canciones con mensajes conscientes donde decimos, usa tu pelo natural como tú quieras. Tu pelo natural no tiene que ser un problema, tu pelo natural te hace ver hermosa nena, tu pelo natural te hace juego con tu nombre, tu pelo natural te hace ver hermoso hombre.
Hey muchachos, bueno, vamos a comenzar ahora con Vamos por el Baile.
Henry, comience la batería.
De Palenque, espero a futuro que las mujeres sean empoderadas. Que Palenque sea una comunidad consciente, activa, que luche por sus derechos, que no se deje opacar, que siempre esté en pro de conseguir lo que se merece.
Bueno, yo espero seguir haciendo música, que el mundo conozca lo que es Palenque a través de la música que hacemos y que se enteren y que conozcan y que aprendan de la pequeña África colombiana situado en Sudamérica, Colombia.
Tu pelo natural te hace ver hermosa nena, tu pelo natural hace juego con tu nombre, tu pelo natural te hace ver hermoso hombre, tu pelo natural no tiene que ser un problema. Tu pelo natural te hace ver hermosa nena, tu pelo natural hace juego con tu nombre, tu pelo natural te hace ver hermoso hombre, tu pelo natural no tiene que ser un problema, tu pelo natural te hace ver hermosa nena, tu pelo
Welcome. Buenas tardes. My name is Armin Schwegler. I'm a professor in the Department of Spanish and Portuguese here at UC Irvine. I'm here today to tell you an amazing and uplifting story about a very unusual people. These are the people of Palenque. Resilient people. People whose culture and language I have studied for the last 30 years. And in the process, I'm happy to say, I have become their friend. These people have had unusual lives, in part because they have been isolated for virtually 400 years. Because they are poor. Because historically they did not know how to read and write. And of course, because they have been black and blacker than black within their own country. Nobody has written down their official history. And worse still, even the Palenqueros themselves do not recall where they came from in Africa and who founded their village. But they do remember that they were unusual people with a special spirit. They were freedom fighters, the first free, officially free community anywhere in the Americas. They speak their own language. Cucha! Bucle habla lengua cuyo. ¿Cuánto van a tener? Yo tengo dos, dos una hembra. And so, today I'm going to tell you the story of how, through studying their language, and ultimately also their DNA, we have managed to reconstruct their history and their origins with great precision. So let me take you to Palenque and let us watch what it looks like.
San Basilio y Palenque, Cundilo y África, aquí Colombia.
¡Vaya!
Ya sendar y Palenque, y todo su tuer y otro colo. Espíritu y tiel a mí, hacendar y chamuquina. Su tu hace otro colo, poto cusa lo que tata, deja susto. Como es Mequiro, Lumbalú y Chitiao. Y hacendá, ribotrocolo.
Agüe, soy papé sema, en despierto lo que viní de África. Palenque, bueno, que te la suelto, de Mabarumá, lendo América.
So there we are, and let me take you back to the beginnings of how this history and story really unfolded. To do that, we need to go back to 1985. This is the moment where I traveled to Colombia for the first time, boarded a bus, and then walked into this village, a village of black people, where I became the white man called the colored man. And this is the language that I heard, a language that I could not understand, even though I speak Spanish fluently, a mix of Spanish words, African grammar, and much that they invented for themselves.
Usted tan mala gana. Yo, tan mala gana. Mañana es martes. Mañana es martes. Y tan como el miércoles, jueves. Y tan vende maíz pilao, con yuki maíz.
So there I was in this village, no electricity, no running water, and yet beautiful people, full of spirit, speaking and celebrating their culture and their language. But it was life in isolation, a life where they could preserve African customs, their own speech. But they were bilingual and have been bilingual for centuries, so they were acquainted with the outside world to a fair extent. But because they were black and so poor, people laughed at them constantly. They were ashamed to speak their tongue, and half of the population had already given it up when I arrived there. But it was a little Africa in the Americas. And in this context, my friend Victor, that you can see here, and I, and the rest of the community, always wondered, where did these people really come from? And as this girl told me and asked me many times, "Di andiri Africa sutto a mini?" Where in Africa? Africa did we really come from? But this search for African origins, as you can imagine, seems rather hopeless. And let me explain to you here in a couple of minutes why it seems so daunting to find this out. For one, you're all aware, of course, that the slave trade was a huge undertaking that lasted roughly 400 years. There is now a new dynamic map on the internet that I encourage you to visit, and let me explain how it works. On that map, you see dots, and each dot represents a ship of 300 to 400 to 500 slaves. The life expectancy on the ship, as you'll see in a minute, was short. But the life expectancy for these slaves, once they had landed in the Americas, was no more than 2 to 3 years. So keep that in mind as you watch this map evolve and move as the dots go from Africa to the New World. Every dot represents, in a modern sense, a jumbo jet falling out of the sky. 20,000 ships you will see fly across the screen compressed into less than a minute. 12 million slaves, 20% of which perished during the voyage, and 20% of whom were children. So let us watch in silence and in horror as the slave trade unfolds.
I want to feel it. I want to feel it. I want to feel it. Feel it. Feel it.
Freedom. Freedom, breaking away from slavery.
And then the Lord will scatter you among all nations, from one end of the earth to another. Deuteronomy 28, verse 64. If you were to ask some scholars about the verse, they might reference the African diaspora. Whether any of that is true, it has piqued my interest. A scattered population whose origin hailed from Africa, I want to learn more. And among many places in the world you can find the diaspora, Palenque, Colombia is very interesting. Built by runaway slaves in the 17th century, Palenque, Colombia became the first documented free slave towns in America. Because of that very reason, I've decided to visit the town to learn more about its culture and its connection to Africa.
What's up, guys? I'm here in Palenque. I'm visiting the town because a lot of you guys have requested. If you're wondering where Palenque is, it's like south of Cartagena in the Maria Mountains and the Department of Bolivar, right?
Yes.
That's Joely. She's been in a couple of my videos. Her family's from here. She's born in Barranquilla, but her family's from this part of town, and we're at her auntie's house. Let's go look at your auntie's house. Come on. My main thing here, guys, is I want to show you more than the tourist life, the everyday life. Okay, here we go. We've seen a lot of tourist videos, but I want to see how normal life is here, and we're at her family's house. This is a beautiful home, by the way. You know? What's going on, family? What's going on?
Buenos dias. ¿Qué más? ¿Cómo está usted? Para mí es un placer saludarlo.
He said, hello, buenos dias. You guys know what that means, and he's happy to see you, all right?
Soy cartagenero de descendencia palenquera. Mis padres son palenqueros. Ellos son mis padres.
Ah, okay. So he was born in Cartagena, but this is his family right here.
Ellos son mis padres.
And this is his parents, actually, and they were born here. All right, guys. So I'm putting my mask on because I know that's going to be the topic of discussion. But we're going to go check out the city right now. Let's do it. So we got Ronald here. He speaks a little English. What's going on? Where you learn English from?
I was a Martin Luther King student. It's a program for young black men here in Colombia. Yeah, I get a scholarship.
Were you born here?
Yes.
So I was asking him, like, is there going to be fiesta hoy?
Yes, hoy is, you know, hoy is.
Let's go. Vamos a fiesta.
Vamos a meter la calle principal.
Okay, this is the main street right here.
In Palenque.
Mm-hmm.
Here you can see the cemetery. Cuando entre, sea lo primero que le diga. saludes a nuestros ancestros.
Ah, por eso está aquí enfrente.
Eso tiene so una explicación.
Okay, so they actually put the cemetery here in front, so once you come in, salute the passing.
¿Cómo estás?
Bien. Ah, you speak English. What is gardita?
Agaretia.
What is that?
Cuando tú te emocionas, estás bebiendo.
Okay, you get it crunk. Basically, that's what it means. Agaretia.
Uh-huh.
¿Cómo se dice?
Agaretia.
Agaretia. Hay un otro lengua aquí. ¿Tú hablas esa lengua?
Susto, ¿sabes? Chitánimo, chiteas otro aquí, Lendro Palenca. Hue y a Cindy Jarocho, porque no a mí ni...
No sabía que estaba hablando, pero it looks a little Brazilian, though. Hold on. The streets are noticing a common trend. There's no face mask. This town is basically doing their own thing. From what I understand, they don't even have a police department here. Guys, check out this artwork right here. This is basically the story of Palenque in some artwork, okay? So you see the guy with the hand in the chain that was a slave. Okay, he was from Africa. Then he ended up in South America. And he still has the same culture pretty much. If you want to talk about the diaspora, that's something that's a common trend within the African community. That drum, that beat, we all feel it in our soul. It's like in our DNA, that type of music.
Enseñan tienen que ser palenqueros.
Oh, okay, wait a minute. So guys, he was just telling me this is basically the elementary school. If you want to teach here, you have to speak Palenque. What makes lengua palenque?
Es una lengua con toda la complejidad gramatical que existe. Es una lengua que tiene tres elementos fundamentales. Bantu africano, portugués y español.
¿Y por qué portugués? He said Bantu, Portuguese, and Spanish is what really molded that language. I'm asking him, why Portuguese?
Portugués porque es una sencilla razón. Acuérdate que nuestros ancestros fueron transportados desde distintas partes de África en barcos negreros. Lo que se llaman barcos negreros o barcos donde transportaban a los esclavizados. Y la potencia para el transporte de los esclavizados eran los portugueses. Y como nuestros ancestros fueron capturados de distintos lugares de África, muchos no se entendían el lenguaje. Entonces tuvieron la necesidad de aprender otro lenguaje y fueron aprendiendo cosas del portugués porque quienes transportaban eran portugueses.
Si pasen a Brasil, no hay problema. ¿Tú conoces el lengua de portugués?
No exactamente la lengua, sino elementos de la lengua del portugués, así como elementos de lengua del bantú y del castellano. Porque la lengua palenquera...
Bantú,
Swahili y Kikongo.
Okay, ¿la gente aquí de Congo? Varios.
Varios, o sea, no podemos decir que toda nuestra gente de Congo, o sea, porque sería...
Hubo un grupo de descendientes que...
De distintas partes, hay muchísima gente que proviene de Congo, Angola, Guinea, Guinea-Bissau específicamente, un poquito de Mozambique, muy poco ya de Nigeria, algunos. O sea, porque fue distinto, no podemos homenizar o decir que de un solo lugar.
So, he's basically saying that they can't define the group of Africans that came here to one country in Africa. But he's basically saying that there's a strong influence of the Congo influence here. And then what he also said something about Portuguese and I guess the transports that brought him here. They spoke Portuguese. For those who want to help me in the comments clarify what he said, go by all means. This is interesting, though. You got a lot of brothers out here, man. They look like some of my homies from the hood. Hey, you famous. Todo el mundo conoce a ti.
Sí, aquí en la comunidad todo el mundo se conoce.
Yeah, okay.
He said, yo puedo conocer el palenquero aunque esté en Barranquilla, pero yo sé que es palenquero.
Oh, okay, so he can point out a person from Barranquilla, from Palenque. He pretty much knows everybody in the town.
Todo el mundo se conoce aquí.
Okay.
No hay palenquero que no conozca.
Okay. ¿Yo?
¿Palenquero? Todos los palenqueros.
¿Yo parece palenquero? ¿Si no hablas? ¿Sí? ¿Muy gordo?
Si no habla.
If I don't talk, he's gonna. I'm actually. Look like
tiene,
a for palenqueño.
Como de nosotros, sí. O sea,
he said I got some features. I can say I'm from palenque. Okay. All right, bro.
Que tenemos el color.
The main thing is the color. But I think he knows based off the person's swag. Mi familia de Haití. Conozco Haití.
Claro, o sea. No he ido, pero yo conozco la historia de Haití. Fue la, el primer país libre.
¿País?
Sí, claro. Libre. Pero antes que Haití, en
Haití... ¿A Palenque?
Haití fue en 1804.
Sí, yo sí, conozco.
Y Palenque fue en 1703.
Sí, ellos hacen lo primero de nosotros. Sí, sí, sí.
Pero yo conozco a, un poquito la historia del general Petión.
Bueno, yo quiero hablar contigo en mi, mi gente langua. Sacpase.
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 Para dice, ¿qué pasando?
Sacpase.
Mm.
En mi lengua. ¿Cómo cusata?
¿Cómo cusata? Okay, brother, that's all. That's all.
Okay, you see that?
Okay.
Sapase.
Yeah, man, that's what's up, man. Right? That's what's up, man. Thank you. Kumo
kusata.
Kumo kusata. What's up, man?
How you doing?
Good, man.
I'm good, good.
You from here?
Yeah, I'm living here.
Okay, that's, what's the best thing about living in Palenque?
The culture.
Mm, that's what I'm here for. I want to learn the culture.
The cultural identity, you know.
The identity, huh?
You know, that especially the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you when you come here, you're like Afro-descendant. Because you are not Afro-American. You are Afro-descendant.
Otra vez. You heard that, guys? Okay,
You come from Africa. And when you come here, you feel like it. That energy.
Mm.
That's vibrant, you know. That's vibrant. That's that we come from the same part. We come from the same fight.
Mm.
We are the same people. We are the same.
Mm.
You understand? And it's good that you coming to now part of our real culture. Where we coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Where you are? What? Who you
and
are.
learn more about here.
All different things.
Because you know, people always ask me, are there black people in Colombia? And I'm like, okay, yes.
Fuera de África.
Sí.
Colombia es la tercera nación con más
africanos. Outside of Africa, Colombia has the third country that has the most African population in the world.
That is what we have to show to those people that don't know, you know, all about that. We have to show because, you know, I think that is like a part of the police, you know, part of the government, you know. That have to show, you know, in Palenque.
Because even in when you look at Colombian representation, sometimes you don't see you guys on television and the media, and that could be a problem.
A lot of people think that Colombia is only drugs. Colombia is only white people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Colombia is more than
here.
Diverse in Colombia. The more important thing for me in Palenque to show the world is the black people can live in unity.
Man, thank you. He's gonna bring me to the party tonight, okay? Maybe I see you, okay?
You are in the town.
Today?
You are in town, yeah.
We the party tonight?
Yeah, today, yo.
I want to see the party.
Shut up, many guys here, you can join, you know.
¿Cómo la gente bailar aquí? Salsa, que pelea.
Champeta.
Champeta.
Champeta, mi Africa, champeta music, you know.
Okay.
It's Africa, out of Africa.
Uh-huh. Okay, here we go. We following him. Let's go.
All
right. Got that music playing. Got the boys playing the game. What's up, brother? All right.
What's up, brother?
Okay, welcome, man. I'm happy. Yo soy muy contento para conozca la cultura, la gente. Mira mi gente que tiene mis colores. Muy alegre. Yo.
Okay.
I'm very happy to be here. Yeah.
Puedes caminar, puedes conocer.
Okay, gracias. Okay, thank you. All right. So I guess that's where the hood boys hanging out. Them boys hanging out.
Okay. ¿Y en Haití qué cosa es la importante?
En Haití, bueno, Haití ayuda a Colombia.
Claro. Y Colombia, el presidente Simón Bolívar
fui a Haití,
pero lo traicionó porque una de las decisiones era de que una vez conseguida la libertad, en Colombia, él tenía que concederle a todos los negros la libertad.
Pero no,
y no lo hizo, no lo hizo. Solo en 1850-51 es que se logra la libertad, la abolición total de la esclavización.
Mm.
Entonces Simón Bolívar quedó y tuvo una deuda con
Haití,
con el general Petión, que le suministró hombres y armas para la independencia. Entonces estamos pendientes.
This guy knows his, he really knows his history, basically, guys. So, I'm gonna just paraphrase what he said, but he was talking about how the person that really liberated Colombia, which was Gran Colombia at the time, which was Colombia, Venezuela, and Ecuador, was a guy named Simón Bolívar. He is from Venezuela, that part of the world at the time, and he basically needed some help. He lost a battle in Cartagena. He went to Jamaica, and they tried to assassinate him, one of the people he was with. And then he asked for help from the Americans, or not the Americans, the English, but they said no. So he went to Haiti. At the time, Haiti had just, well, they were already independent. And the president of Haiti said, all right, I'll give you some help. I'm going to give you some money. I'm going to give you some gunpowder. I'm going to give you some men. But you need to free all of us, right? The people, the black people, the slaves. And Simón agreed, but he didn't keep his end of the bargain. I think he had slaves. Simón had slaves. I think he let go of his slaves. So they think Simón tiene slaves y dejó libre, pero no el país.
No el país.
So he had slaves.
No hizo el decreto que reglamentara la abolición total. Como presidente, entonces fue una deuda que tuvo ahí.
There's a debt that hasn't been paid.
Tu cosa favorita que estás aquí en Palenque.
Mi cosa favorita aquí.
Sí.
Disfrutar el paisaje.
He likes to go around the passageway over here, probably messing with mujeres.
aquí en Palenque tenemos muchas cosas que contarle.
Okay.
Ahí porque todos son hermanos en nosotros.
He said come, because we're all brothers from each other.
Aquí en Palenque lo queremos todos los negros.
¿Qué música está? What are you listening to? Trap.
Champeta.
En trompa ya. ¿Tú sabes qué es en trompa?
¿Qué es trompa?
Ya, la mujer.
Okay. Suave. Aquí en mi país, en Haití, se llama compa. Me compa. El guye. Se llama, pero me compa.
Aquí es la caída y
el trompa. So guys, they decided not to have police here because it was a lot of construction, corruption happening here. So they decided, entonces no más policía.
No, aquí no, nunca ha habido policía aquí.
Never was police here.
Aquí tenemos algo que se llama guardia cimarrón, o sea, mayor.
Guardas y moronas.
Guardias y moronas, son mayores de la comunidad.
I guess it's probably an unspoken thing people know, like if you're of older age, you're supposed to guide the youth on what to do. Okay, guys, this is not like a police station here, but apparently it's like a justice building.
Yeah.
So he's famous because he walks around without a shirt.
Lo que pasa es que como el segundo, el de los guías de Palenque,
he's the second guide of this town, so he pretty much helped create this tourism buzz. And okay, that's what's up, man. That's the same guy. He was basically saying that the reason why he doesn't wear a shirt is because the sun feeds him. He really loves the exposure of the sun ever since he was a child. He doesn't feel right unless he feels the beams from the sun. That's awesome. So guys, this is a particular type of rum they make here.
Contra. Es un licor artesanal hecho aquí en la comunidad con plantas medicinales que sirve para la limpieza del cuerpo y para estar ready.
Para ready.
Yeah.
Para ready. Fuerte.
Fuerte.
Fuerte. Fuerte. Yeah, it's a bunch of herbs in here. It's smelling like vodka. It's like a tequila. No, es con tequila.
Poquito.
It's like a moonshine, guys, basically. So, guys, this is basically a place where you can get your local traditional medicine right here. The medicine man. It's just interesting to see. So let's check out what we got going on here. Hay un medicine para ser flaco? Is there like a medicine to get people skinny?
Nos la llevamos toda.
We will all take that. So, guys, let's check out what's in the back right here. See some, I hear some pigs. What's up, homie? What's going on? You gonna come show us the love? He's challenging my snort. It's working, guys. It sounds like a motorbike. Who would have thought I know how to speak pig? I know how to speak pig. What's up, homie? You all right? You all right? Awesome. I know how to speak pig.
Awesome.
Well, they say you are what you eat. That's awesome.
Diabetes. Y también este bejuco, la raíz de él, la utilizamos para personas que tienen presión.
So basically, guys, he's preserving the medical culture of this town. And so he talks about using different various herbs to create medicine for people. And it's interesting, though. I'm assuming if you go to Africa, certain villages, you're going to find medicine doctors everywhere. And so I'm going to ask him, where does he think his connection in Africa comes from, if he can say anything.
All right. También
tenemos... Dicen que nosotros los palenqueros venimos todo lo que tiene que ver de la costa occidental del África. Somos descendientes de allá.
De la costa.
Costa.
Lo gente de palenqueros. Y bueno, ese aquí es el cultura de África o de aquí de Palenque, la gente. Aquí,
tenemos casi las mismas costumbres que nos dejaron nuestros antepasados.
Uh-huh.
Somos descendientes africanos y por eso nosotros en nuestra comunidad hablamos a nuestros dioses. La misma costumbre que tienen los africanos allá, también la tenemos acá en América, pero con una adaptación al continente americano. Oh,
bueno, hay muchas culturas, hay mucha gente que piense de todo, muchas cosas. ¿Qué piense? Hay gente que piense los africanos de Israel, hijos de Israel. ¿Qué piense de eso?
Nosotros, ¿do you believe in that? Nosotros, nuestra comunidad de San Basilio Palenque, no somos mucho devotos a la religión católica.
Uh-huh.
Vamos a los sitios de culto católico es cuando se nos muere una persona querida, misa de un difunto amigo, pero muy poco. Las misas dominicales, que son los domingos, en Palenque apuradamente van 5, 6, 8 personas, pero no van muchas personas. No somos mucho devotos a la religión católica.
Uh-huh.
Porque nuestros antepasados nos dejaron en nuestros genes cuál era nuestra religión. Adoramos a nuestros dioses, adoramos a la naturaleza, pero no somos católicos de vocación.
Oh, no, bueno, hermano, no, ya contesta bien.
Ok.
Gracias, hermano. Ok, thank you.
Atauto Vega. Mm-hmm. Hasta la próxima. Atauto Vega.
Mm-hmm.
O hasta luego.
Hasta último.
Vega.
Hasta último Vega. Gracias, hermano. You know, I noticed that narrative on my my channel. Everybody wants to connect biblical terms to what they see in society. And what he said was, made a lot of sense, but I'm not here to preach to you, but I wanted to give you that because I know people are going to ask about that. So there it is for you, okay? He basically was saying that you gotta think about the religion that was people believed beforehand.
All right, guys, so we at Joely's cousin house here in Palenque. We're going to go see what they're cooking right now. Let's go.
Bueno, Leon, ella es Suni. Suni es mi prima. Suni nos ha invitado acá a su casa. Vamos a almorzar aquí con ella.
Okay.
Aquí les presento el arroz de coco frito, el típico de la comunidad de San Basilio de Palenque. Wow. Y aquí están unas mojarras fritas.
She got some fried fish right here. Esa es la comida típica que todo el mundo come.
Aquí en San Basilio de Palenque.
¿Cuál es tu favorita comida?
El arroz de coco, pero en blanco.
¿Blanco?
Blanco.
¿Cuál es el diferente?
Porque este frito con... Este hecho, uno raya el coco, lo cuela, le saca el primer zumo de coco, le echa un poquito de azúcar o panela y lo ponemos a freír. Mi favorita es el arroz blanco de coco con pescado y una ensalada de aguacate. Que ahora mismo está, no hay aguacate.
Hay un mercado aquí.
Hay un mercado, no, super tienda. Aquí hay varias personas que lo traen de fuera y luego uno lo compra acá. Hay unos que salen también a Cartagena como Malagana, Mate, que también se encuentran más económicos.
Basically, they outsource their food here.
Bueno, aquí tenemos gallina, que uno no es necesario salir afuera a buscarla, el cerdo, el carnero.
Al hermano del finca, algo así.
De finca, sí, estos son de finca.
These are
como
like
el
farm
conejo,
food.
El conejo, la guatinaja, el amarillo, uno lo consigue aquí mismo entre los montes. Ese sí hay que cazarlo para...
Oh, yeah, I gotta say this myself. Everybody's not wearing one. Pero es un cosa típico. Habla nosotros cosas de Palenque. Es comida de Palenque. What is,
la
like,
comida
give us something
típica,
about...
típica de aquí es el bleo.
Bleo.
El bleo.
¿Qué es el bleo?
El bleo es una mata terrestre que nace en cualquier parte del monte. Luego es una mata verde. Uno la cortan y por lo menos la mamá mía y la abuela mía es que hacen el bleo. Pero en este momento no es tiempo de bleo.
Okay, so basically the typical food is called bleo. I'm sure it has an English word. Her mom and her aunt makes it really well, but it's not the time. ¿Cuándo es el tiempo por bleo?
El bleo es de agosto.
So in August time, you can come here and get some bleo. How do you like living in Palenque?
¿Cómo me gusta?
Sí.
Normal, libre, uno es...
¿Ese tú nació aquí?
Sí, nací aquí.
Okay, bueno, bueno. Wow, ooh. Ah, mira esa comida. Es un cocina.
Es una cocina.
All right, guys, so she's starting the fire. Tree bark and adding it. There's some, in the middle is some chips. Let me give you guys a close-up look at how it looks. Oh, wow. Putting some corn on there. As you can see, she's blowing into it. Ah, wow. Okay, guys, so she's also putting the shell of the
esto
cocoa.
Lo que hace que la llama aumente más.
Nothing goes to waste here. Even the shells of the cocoa is going to be used for wood fire. So she'll continue to fan the flames to keep the oil burning. And it's an interesting process. But it's totally energy free. It's free. Wow. It smells awesome, guys. That smell is so alluring, man. Straight off the pan. Okay. And then she's gonna put it there, I guess, to calm down. Okay.
Para que enfríe, para que no lo toque.
Nadie puede tocar, see? That way it don't fall.
Caliente.
It's real hot. And she picked it up like a boss.
Porque me vine para el pueblo y no los estoy atendiendo. Yo los atiendo. No cociné yo, pero aquí los estoy atendiendo.
All right, guys, so here is the food. Looking amazing. Yes. So now I'm gonna try some of this rice right here. This is a cocoa rice, but made in Palenque. It's supposed to be a little bit different from what I've ate before, so let's try it. Off the rip. Taste the cocoa extract. It's really good.
That sounds crunchy too, man. That's good. Yeah.
Mm. Tengo que hacer una muestra de cómo está la comida.
She's already into the fish. Look at her.
Vamos a probar qué tal está. Delicioso. Y ya no voy a hablar más porque lo voy a disfrutar.
¿Es un qué?
Agua de panera.
Okay, guys, so sugarcane juice right here. Try some of this, guys.
Eso era lo que yo necesitaba.
Like a Ness iced tea. It's very refreshing.
Oh,
she said she needed this.
Esto era lo que necesitaba.
Mm. Mm. Nice flavored.
Thank you, Suni, for showing us how to cook food. We really appreciate it. If you guys come to Palenque, look for Suni. Tú puedes hacer algo por gente si quiere. ¿Viene aquí?
Claro, sí, siempre.
¿Cómo hacerlo? ¿Nosotros llamar a ti o...?
Me contactan en mi número 322-3853-457.
Okay. That's Colombian number, guys. I'm going to put her information in the description if you want to eat some of her food. Okay, gracias, okay. More. Okay.
Siempre a la orden.
Okay, bye.
Siempre bienvenido. Aquí está Suni por siempre para que me tengan en cuenta. Bye.
Bye. Okay. So one thing that's noticeable is there's no end of the animals here. And there goes the goat right here. Tony Baker Cram. What's up? Cram. 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 Oh, ain't no Cram. What's up, player? What's up? What's up? Okay, I got you. Man, I'm full from that food. Okay, we're entering another crosswords here. Looks like a little bar here.
Vamos a ver el antiguo palenque.
Oh, it's older palenque that way? What's up, brothers? ¿Cómo está todo bien? Yo soy de Estados Unidos. Oh, bueno. Ay, ¿qué pasando? ¿Estás bebiendo?
Porque tenía miedo.
Boxing. ¡Peleando! Boxing. King box. Hello box. Oh, okay. It's going down now. Let's get it. Yo.
Okay. Bueno. ¿Qué es este?
Bien.
¡Fuerte!
Es un
tequila, ¿verdad? ¡Fuerte! ¿Cómo se llama?
Es el propio churrito.
¡Churrito!
Tequila palenquero. Pero bueno para destruir.
Said it's really good for destroying.
No, pero para que lo vi.
Man, guys, as you move further back in town, things just get a little bit more natural around here. As you can see those hills, this place is awesome, man.
¿Qué está haciendo allá al frente? Hola, ¿cómo estás? What's up?
It's like beautiful ground right there. It looks like it's being groomed there. I don't know how it looks like that. Maddie didn't bring my drone to get close up to that. So this is the entry into Old Palenque. It seems like you just walk in. Okay. It's a different type of energy here. It's beautiful though. Oh my gosh. This is beautiful. Man, this is awesome, man. I feel like this is like heaven or something. You're walking down. There's so much history there.
Esa es una recreación que hicieron.
Ah, it's a recreation of how it used to look. So let's do it. Here is the old palenque. Let's go through. This is a replica. First thing you see is cornfields. These are real cornfields.
And then, let's go here. What's this? I guess this is where they bring people, if you're on a tour, to eat food. And we walk through these areas right here. And you see some of these mud huts? Let's get in one of these. Nice. Okay. Made out of wood. Dry dirt. Mud. It's all mud. Nice and cool in here. Okay. Could you imagine? I know this is a replica. Could you imagine, though, people, slaves, walking through this village? Proud, free, the joy. If you pay attention to what they were saying today, this city, this town is a friendly town, brotherly love, united by an event that took place hundreds of years ago. You wanna see something, guys? Let's do it. Let's run through it.
Let's feel it. Ah, I wanna feel it. I wanna feel it.
Freedom. Freedom, breaking away from slavery. What's that? I see people by the... They look like me, though. Where's their master? Do they have a master? Let me get closer. I see more people that look like me. Welcome home, my brother. You are now free. Far away from slavery, you came a long way. You travel thousands of miles. Understand what it means to be free. This is why you go to places like this, guys. Understand the history. Put yourself in a predicament, make you appreciate things. Awesome.
Uno, dos, tres, come on. Africa! Africa! Documented first free slave town in the entire Western Hemisphere, and former slaves, escaped slaves. You got settlements or townships or whatever you want to call them. From Canada all the way down to Argentina, but somebody sent me some information on Palenque, which is allegedly the first documented free slave settlement in the Americas, and that community exists to this day. A little bit more information on it. Let's see, they do have a Wikipedia page or two on it. What I'm reading here, the history, Spaniards kidnapped African slaves in South America. Now these people weren't in Africa. They were already in South America when they were kidnapped by the Spanish Spaniards through the Magdalena River Valley. And let's see. The village of Palenque de San Basilico has a population of 3,500 inhabitants and is located in the foothills of the Montes de Maria, southeast of the regional capital of Cartagena. The word Palenque means walled city, and Palenque de San Basilico is the only one of many walled communities that were founded by escaped slaves as a refuge in the 17th century. Of the many palenques of escaped slaves that existed previously, San Basilico, is the only one of the settlements that has survived to this day. Many oral and musical traditions have roots in the Palenque Africans' past. Africans were dispatched to Spanish America under the Asiento system. And let's see, what's the Asiento system about? Asiento de Negros was a monopoly contract between the Spanish crown and various merchants for the right to provide African slaves to colonies in the Spanish Americas. The Spanish Empire rarely engaged in transatlantic slave trade directly. Yeah, I got to... maybe we'll do a podcast on this one day. I'm going to have to bring in some medical people on this, or at least some healthcare professionals. Because I was thinking, you know, now, a slave ship, what did it take, what, 2 months? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just speculating here. About 2 months you cross, you know, from Africa to the Americas. Let's say what we now call Brazil. Now, what I was thinking, pressure sores or pressure ulcers, better known as bed sores, those things can start to form let's say you're in perfectly good health right now. And if you lay in or sit in one position without turning or moving, within 4 to 6 hours of you being in that one position, bed sores, also I guess officially known as pressure ulcers, start to form. Now, you're not going to have a open wound in that amount of time, but from what I've read, you know, that's the incremental start. So I'm thinking, you know, and then those things, you know, if you don't move enough, then it, you know, they grow and, you know, turn into ulcers that can be infected and take somebody out. But anyway, we're going to have a health care professional come on one day, and 'cause I'm wondering about that. Because even a month-long trip, just even if it was a month, 4-week trip across the Atlantic, that's a long time. Now, granted, they did give him up. I mean, if you go by the Alex Haley roots thing on TV, they did get him up, get him above board. I'm taking for granted that was daily, and they had him move around anyway, but... All right, getting back to Palenque. Let's see. They had their own language. Let's see. One noted person in that community, Benkos Bioho, I might be pronouncing that last name incorrectly, was born to a rural family that ruled over the Bisayos Islands off the coast of what today is Guinea-Bissau. He was seized by Portuguese slave trader Pedro Gomes Rhino, sold to businessman Juan Palacios, and later, after transportation to what is now Colombia in South America, sold again to the Spaniard Alonso de Campo in 1596 in Cartagena de Indias. After he went through all that rigmarole, he established a Maroon community. And Maroons, for those who don't know, Maroons are basically people that were traded as slaves in Africa, and when they escaped when they got over on in the Americas, either North or South America or Central. He established a Maroon community in Basilio, sometime in the 16th century. He was betrayed and hanged by the governor of Cartagena in 1621. The former African king escaped from the slave port of Cartagena with 10 others and founded San Basilio de Palenque, then known as the Village of the Maroons. In 1713, it became the first free village in the Americas by decree from the King of Spain, which he gave up sending his troops on futile missions to attack their fortified mountain hideaway. Translation, they must have been really kicking somebody's ass where they had to give up. And expensive. They probably had people that said, man, look, I ain't going there. They probably knew other people who got killed by these people. Fascinating history about him. A lot of this history, you need to either speak Spanish, which I'm slowly learning, or Portuguese, or both. As well as one of the audios we played, they have their own language. Okay. Announcement for tomorrow. We have Coming Back by Popular Demand. He was on twice last week. Sherrick, official from Oklahoma. And we're going to start off probably asking him questions about some aspect of mobile homes. And for those who missed him last week, Sherrick was at one time working for $4 an hour at the airport, I guess out near Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. $4 an hour with a wife and four children. And he was just simply trying to find a way to improve his life. So as many people do, around the clock, around the world, he ran across some YouTube videos. And there's this one common one that we both ran up on, which I played on here God knows how many times, Solar Cabin. So we connected through that and then found out we had some other things in common. So he'll be on tomorrow, again, Friday. And he gives Matter of fact, from that interview, we have now Mobile Home Mondays, and we might even have something on a regular on Saturdays. So that's tomorrow with the sheriff official will be back on. In any event, open up to, what do you call it, I guess we can do trending topics. We can talk about Palenque, because like I say, they were black, or what we would define today as black, from Canada all the way down to Argentina. So there were a number of black, countless black townships or settlements. Or we can talk about somebody who's been trending for the last 2 weeks at least. Kwame Brown, who, man, he's been roasting a lot of people in the sports field. He defended Candace Owens now. He defended Candace Owens, but he has roasted Stephen A. Smith, who, Stephen A. Smith, I don't like him anyway. He roasted him. Charlamagne Tha God, he roasted him well. Charlamagne had to go back and apologize. Let's see if we can find some of that audio. But he's been, he played it, he was the, I think so far he's been the only, there have been high school people, there have been people that went to the NBA right out of high school. But he's the first and only one so far to become, that he was a number one draft pick. Okay, so that's his distinction in getting into, you know, the National Basketball Association. So, essentially, I mean, he was getting roasted coming fresh out of high school. But he held his tongue, and now was his turn. He kept quiet. He got his money. He didn't ruffle any feathers while he was he sort of like did the polar opposite of Kaepernick. Didn't say anything. And now he's roasting people. So any him or any other topics that you might guys might want to come up with here. I'm trying to, I know I played something by him earlier this week, but I forgot how I listed it. Let me see. Or any other trending topics. I don't, you know, what's trending, people? I happen to see the movie, last week, United States versus Billie Holiday. You guys want to talk about that? If you saw it. I thought it was a pretty good piece, particularly the actress who portrayed Billie Holiday. She nailed that part. If you haven't watched it on Hulu, I recommend it. So, yeah, Billie Holiday, I recommend that. So anything you guys want to talk about, we got a little bit of, got quite a bit of time here to kill, actually. Because tomorrow, like I say, Sherrick will be back, and he'll be talking about what he talks about. Captivating, I know it's going to go 2 hours. Actually, no, we did almost 3 hours with him. Anyway, 346, your mic is open.
Yeah, good morning, L.A. How's it going?
Oh, fine. Good to hear you, Warren.
First thing on my mind is Kwame Brown. We can come back to Billie Holiday, but I never thought I'd be a Kwame Brown fan. I am now a Kwame Brown fan.
Yeah, me too. He done roasted. Two of the people, Charlamagne Tha God deserved to be roasted. Charlamagne did apologize. He even named himself Donkey of the Day. And Stephen Smith, I'm just not a Stephen Smith fan.
Well, you know, if somebody come and bring up that you molested a 15-year-old girl, then I'm pretty sure he would be quick to apologize.
Yeah.
With that kind of information being put out at this time in his life. Both of them from Charleston, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of got a history there together. But my biggest thing came with Kwame Brown is he spoke out against the Democratic Party. And he talked about the narrative of how they don't allow anybody else to be a free thinker. If you're not in line with their mind, how they try to assassinate your character and kill you. And he was so on point with that, you know.
Well, that's true. That's why, like, I watched the video this morning where he defended Candace Owens. And he pointed out the point that Candace, you know, she'll put out an issue, but then people jump on her. Well, they jump on her, number one, because she's Republican. And then number two, they try to do the character assassination, and they don't even listen to her points. So I like that video. I liked him on that.
Well, somebody of his character who speaks out, and look, I think he's got a lot of attention as he talked about that, because that's the way it is in the black community. And you would think that people would have sense that they've been doing the same thing for several decades now, and it ain't been working. So if it's not working, why would you kill assassinate the character of somebody who come in with a different view to try to?
That's true. Or even because they roasted Steve Harvey, they attacked his character, and Steve Harvey said, "Well, now if you had the opportunity to, because we've been whining about not being able to sit at the table, so when we get to sit at the table, we get roasted for sitting at the table."
If they say you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's when Kwame Brown became my hero for speaking out on that issue. And I think he really ruffled some feathers.
Well, on several points, like, because the way he, you know, particularly going back to Stephen A. Smith, man, the way he's roasted some black athletes. Anyway, he got it. They don't like it when they get a taste of their own medicine back. That's the way I look at it.
Right. And it's funny because, you know, Kwame Brown was been quiet for years, and he was the laughing stock of the.
Oh yeah, he could have easily, but he played it smart. He didn't say anything controversial. He collected all of his money. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's retired, then he opened up his mouth. Some people, you know, maybe had Kaepernick done that, you know. Collect all your money, retire. I mean, Kaepernick's make money since then, though. But then you open up your mouth. But anyway.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, so,
your thoughts on United States versus Billie Holiday?
I think it was a very good movie in terms of showcasing her life. And as you say, the actress, she nailed it. You would have thought she was not like actresses like that. There's only a few movies I can think of where actresses actually nailed the character. You know, when I think about Jamie Foxx playing Ray Charles. I mean, he played.
Oh yeah, he nailed that one. You thought he was Ray Charles in that movie.
But he's Ray Charles. You know, and so that's the same thing with this movie. I can't think of her name, but she played it so well. You would actually think that she was Billie Holiday. That's how good she was. I do think they too much more on her personal life than they did on the political aspect of it. You know, now that was been a little more tied up into the cases themselves than to what she was doing in her personal life. But overall, I think it was still a good movie.
Yeah, one piece in that movie, and I had to look the dude up. I had to pause the movie and look him up. While I was watching it, was Anslinger, the guy that was, you know, after her in the government, the federal government.
Yeah.
When I think about the waste of taxpayers' dollars, trying to get her busted for drug possession or anything.
Well, in their mind, but see, that goes to show you the mindset of a guilty people. That song, Strange Fruit, it brought attention. And I mean, people wanted to hear it, whether they were black or white, they wanted to hear it. But in their mind back in those times, they were scared that it was going to stir up a riot and cause, a lot of people to get killed, which I don't think that would have been the case. It did, bring some thought to what was going on and how people were being, black folks were being lynched at that time and prior to that. And but the FBI, should I say, at that time, they saw it different. And, we're talking about, J. Edgar Hoover?
Right.
The head of the FBI? Yeah.
After watching that film, I was thinking, and I never asked my mother this while she was living, my grandparents. Matter of fact, none of the elders that were in my family, I never thought to ask. But I'm sure some of them actually had watched somebody get lynched or ran up on somebody who had been lynched.
Oh yeah.
But I never thought, because we just grew up in a completely different time, and I guess protected time. But I remember one scene. Matter of fact, in James, the biopic of James Brown, I think. When he was a kid, he was running through the woods and then ran up on some strange fruit. I mean, that's got to be I can't even find the words to run up on something like that.
Yeah.
Or see it. So, any other comments on it?
Well, I would say, and I've heard talk about it, I had some relatives down in Compton, California, CA. And, I've watched the movies. I've even been to Compton, but even the little short time I was there, I didn't see the violence that caused all the movies like Colors and things like that. But, they actually say there will be bodies just laying in the streets. Just you walk over them and keep walking. I'm like, wow, I couldn't fathom that. And so I guess that was in Compton, California. They had a modern day of strange fruits of whether people were killed by the police or by other gang members, and sometimes their body would be out there for days,
Man, if I ever go out that way, what you get in trouble for just wearing the wrong red or blue colors?
Yeah, you can get your life taken for just wearing the wrong. I was actually that was back in, I think it was 2005. I was visiting a cousin and she was living in Compton at the time, and of course I was trucks, and we had a terminal there in Los Angeles, and I got a cab from the terminal to her house, and she stayed in the projects in Compton. I went on in, and we conversated or whatever, enjoyed each other's company. But one thing that kind of caught me off guard is that she realized her screen was unlocked, and she panicked, so she jumps up and goes. She's like, I thought it was just on TV, but she was like, no, somebody running from the police, they were actually run up in your house. So, okay, well, lock it. I've seen it on TV, but I've never experienced that,
Well, I hope I don't. I don't know, because I used to look for housing, really beat up, rough neighborhoods, but I never ran into any problems. But, however, it wasn't any place like a Compton or I spent some time in Detroit, but never had any problems up there. But Detroit, man, you got to nail everything down up that way. At least that's how it was back when I was there. I don't know how it is today, but.
A friend of mine is actually from Detroit. He lives here in Houston. When the housing went down, you can get a house $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. He went up there and bought several properties, but I mean, he's from Detroit, and he told me, man, he was in some of those houses rehabbing them himself, and he was just that nervous that he was rehabbing those houses with a pistol on it. you know, praying nobody would come in and do anything to him. So I couldn't imagine that, but hey, you know, it just depends on, I guess, where you are in the country.
Yeah, that's true. I know Detroit, if you got a car, there's a lot of car, at least there was a lot of car theft up that way. Like I said, I haven't been up there since the 90s. It's an interesting town. Now, speaking of towns, now, you got people that are moving to Texas. Notice any influx? Because Houston's a big city.
I used to say that that Texas was the best kept secret in the United States of America. Well, the word is out. That's the best way I can put it. I mean, everybody's coming to this place. You got the National Rifle Association or whatever. They just moved down here.
Right.
And I mean, everybody's looking at this place as a place of profit. 50 Cent has been here, I guess, for the last month or two, and he's made the papers, the headlines, like crazy. You know, he's been over at the rodeo, chilling out with those folks. He came to the Houston Independent School District with the local leaders, and he donated $300,000 to three of the poorest black high schools in Houston, which would be Wheatley, Phyllis Wheatley, Yates, Jack Yates High School, and Worthy. And so he donated $300,000, and the city donated $300,000, which made a total of $600,000 to implement some kind of program that he wants to put in the schools to help the youth. So it's a lot of traffic going on here, man. As a matter of fact, it's so bad that the real estate market right now is a seller's market. You can't if you go on what we call HAR.com, it's where you can find listing of houses, you know, just as quick as the houses go on there for sale, they're gone, like, just like that. So you have people that have good credit scores, whatever, can't even find a house right now. And it's driving the prices up.
That's in your Houston, San Antonio, the larger cities there?
Houston, Dallas. Houston first, Dallas second. Probably San Antonio, then Austin.
Okay. See, I went to undergraduate school up in the Panhandle, up in Canyon, Texas. Canyon's got about 13,000 people a day, something like that. That's West Texas, but then I've had my eye on far West Texas, where the population's kind of sparse out in those parts. Texas is so huge, though. Texas can actually sustain itself as its own nation.
From Beaumont, what should I say, Orange, from the Texas-Louisiana state line to the Texas-New Mexico state line, you're talking about over 900-something miles of land.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Close to 1,000 miles, you know.
Right.
And
it's,
Texas is probably much the only, you know, when I was driving trucks, you know, sometimes I pass through 2-3 states in one day, but Texas is the only state that you can drive, go to, you know, wake up driving in and go to sleep, and you're still in the same state the next morning.
Oh, yeah, I know, because, see, when I was in college, we see flying to Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, and then from that airport to Amarillo, Texas Airport, that was like a 50-minute flight.
Yeah.
And then if you drove from, let's say, Amarillo or Canyon to Houston, I think that was like a 12-hour drive.
Well,
it's a long drive. And Houston's not even the bottom of the state, and Amarillo is not even the top of the state.
Right. Well, I know when I would go out west, if I was, you know, I was driving trucks and I had a load to go out to New Mexico, Arizona, California, I would leave Houston and it would take me at least about 13 hours to get to El Paso, Texas.
Right, that's one of my favorite spots in Texas, El Paso.
Yeah, yeah, you know, El Paso is pretty much close to the New Mexican border.
Well, yeah, Mexico's right there.
Yeah, so it would take me about
Mexico. Did you ever go to Las Cruces?
Yeah. Las Cruces, New Mexico?
Yeah, it's New Mexico. And then White, what was it called? White Sands National Park?
I don't think I've been to any parks there, but I've been through New Mexico.
It's near Las Cruces, man. Anyway, but I like that part of the country.
Well, Flagstaff, Arizona. I don't know if you've been up in that part. It's beautiful. Yeah, very beautiful up there in Flagstaff.
Well, there are people that are, you got quite a few people moving to Arizona, too.
Mm.
Texas, like you see, Texas has got, out of the 10 largest cities in the United States, Texas has three of them. Dallas, San Antonio, and Houston. And the thing is about Dallas, really, because don't they consider Dallas-Fort Worth like a metroplex?
Right, because Fort Worth is its own city and Dallas is its own city, but they combine it and call it the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. And what's funny about that, you got interstate, what they call, what is it, 35, that runs straight from Dallas all the way up to Minnesota. And in Minnesota, you got... Yeah, you got Minneapolis and St. Paul. So Minneapolis and St. Paul is a mirror to the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex, and they run straight on the interstate, kind of like a fork on each end, a two-pronged fork on each end, if you can picture that.
Hmm. It's that's what you know. Interesting thing about now those three metro areas, and then throw in Austin, four. Densely populated, but then you go to other parts of Texas, and it's like there's not that many people there. There's some parts of Texas where you can drive for miles and not see nobody.
Oh yeah. Well, it's pretty much like that. Like if you leave Houston, you're gonna see a lot of people in a lot of places. Say you get to San Antonio. Once you pass San Antonio and you keep moving west, the deader it gets. You know, you get around out there in no man's land out in Texas going that way.
Right. Well, yeah, that's where I got 10 acres at. You may as well call it almost no man's land. I think less than 2,000 people live there, probably less than 1,500 maybe. And then I think 71% of the people in that town are Hispanic. Mexico is just, about 45-50 minute drive from there. So, but yeah, that's a pretty interesting, huge state. When I was going to school there, man, you can't cover all the counties that are in Texas.
It's probably some 200-300 some counties in this state.
It's a lot. It's over 200 counties. That's amazing, man. Over 200 counties in one state.
Yeah.
All right, let me go to the next caller here. 314 trending topics. Or whatever you want to talk about. Your mic's open, 314.
I'm getting ready to go to Acme's Oyster House and try to create a picture like Warren be doing.
You got a platter. Me, man.
Give me a platter of alligator tail and oysters. Shrimp. Salad, big old taco glass, lemonade.
Yeah, Warren, you be having some, that's enough food to eat for about a couple of days ain't it?
Hey, man, life is good. What can I say? I'm trying to enjoy it.
Well, I'll be looking at them pictures that real hard to see if they come out of a food magazine. I can't tell. Or we might be pulling one on us. Yeah, well, I finally found out where this place is at. I'm going to check them out here in about another few hours. Give me some. I haven't had no oysters in a long time.
Oh, well, man, you're in a place where you can definitely find a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Seafood is a specialty.
Well, I mean, yeah, you got a lot of interesting places down there. I mean, because you got, it's so international. You have, Mexican is that Mexican and Texas is goes hand in hand.
Well, you know that Nigerian restaurant we ate at, Warren. That guy's moving down to Atlanta.
Really? Oh man, I hate that.
It's kind of far from you, so. It's close.
Yeah,
it's 3 hours. It's 5 hours.
I haven't back to St. Louis yet, but I had in my mind that I had to hit that place up when I get back.
Well, he sold it to a Nigerian, but my grandson said no. He said that no wonder the food tastes a little different. So,
not the same quality.
Yeah, I don't know the details. I talked to him, Kofi, a couple of times, but I was calling the restaurant to tell him to leave him a message. He said, you know, he don't own this restaurant no more. He said, I said, oh, no, I didn't know that. So, well, on your topics today, L.A., you got land in Florida. You got land in Texas. You talk about Oklahoma. My question is, what you going to do?
I'm working on developing communities now. Small communities based on what I saw over in Germany. You can sort of call them micro communities. Starting with the closest one right here in Florida.
Well, let me give you a little suggestion. I don't know about Florida. If you build the homes, then the businesses will come to service the homes. That's the way that usually works. Build the houses where the people come stay in. And see, here's another thing, too. People that own land really don't want development next to their land. You know why, don't you? Because the taxes go
up. That's why I'm keeping mine, like, really micro.
Yeah. So if you got some land and, say, a Walmart comes and develops that land, mm-hmm. Well, your property tax is going to go up.
Oh, way up.
Yes.
Way up.
And the reason why is because that development requires servicing.
Service.
That somebody's got to pay for.
Very good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. Those property taxes jump way up.
Now, as far as Stephen A. Smith and that, I don't even know them guys. I don't watch this anyway. It don't interest me. I know 50 Cent. I can't think of his real name. He's a smart business person, though.
Curtis Jackson, I think is his real name.
Yeah, Curtis Jackson.
Yeah, he's a smart business person. Lil Wayne is a smart business person. Floyd Mayweather is smart, even though he can't read well. I like them. I like Tyler Perry for what he's done. And there's several of them out there. That's, of course, you know Magic Johnson has done quite a bit. See, like he kind of fell off a little bit. You talk about people being quiet. Look at Michael Jordan. He was quiet. He didn't fall into that trap of getting involved in black issues and everything. He said Republicans by Haynes, too.
Yeah, if I were him, yeah, I would stay quiet myself. Just, hey, That's the thing about LeBron James. I think LeBron James, it sounds bad when you say it, shut up and dribble. His thing is basketball. Stay in your lane.
He definitely needs to leave politics alone because he don't know what he's talking about. But he's just, every time he opened his mouth, he ended up sinking his own ship.
Because you know he lives in a gated community. Someplace like Bel Air or Homely Hills, California, you know that. You know, all his kids are probably in private school. You know, so the universe that he lives in is totally
opposite.
Yeah, of whatever he's, you know, the issue that's out here.
And see, here's the thing. Them kids, his children coming up in that type of atmosphere and environment is going to be opposite ideology than the one that's making the news. Like this mess of commemorating George Floyd and wanting to have a George Floyd policing bill. And people are thinking that it came out and voted for Joe Biden on that pretense. Now, let me ask you something. Who in the hell wouldn't want tough policing if they got a community they got interest in? Another point. The White House has no control over municipal police departments.
No.
Those departments was allowed to operate or form due to the state constitution because that state is a sovereign entity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people can complain of civil rights violations. They can. But the White House can't come in and tell them how to police. That's separation of powers. And some fools is crazy enough to think that they can.
Right. Just like here in
Texas.
Oh,
I got a question to ask you guys. Was it maybe 2 days ago when George Floyd's family was at the White House? But what's his name? George Floyd's sister, at least one of his sisters, decided not to go. What did y'all, I don't want to mess up what she said. What do you think about her not going, or I guess that's her form of protest?
Well,
I don't know.
She said, what was her reason? Because I didn't catch that news.
Oh, man, I got to find the thing. I think she should have gone to the White House. Because this is another example of, because you got to look at, it was a once-in-a-lifetime, more than likely, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get in front of the President of the United States and the VP, who was there also.
And what was she going to tell him?
He had family members that attended now, but he had a sister. I don't know how many sisters he had, but at least this sister decided not to go, and then she held some kind of a press conference in Minnesota. Or Texas, wherever she's at, stayed in where she did go because she said
what
that
were they
Biden
about
broke. Italy? They went there because essentially they're trying to get the George Floyd whatever legislation passed. That's
and
why.
What is the legislation supposed to do? Do you know?
Police reform.
What kind of police reform? Do you know?
I do not know.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, like I just got through saying, the federal government can't reform police. They have no control over it. Same way with public schools, unless that school takes money from that, and it only has to apply to that particular program. I mean, you understand that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like here in Texas.
Yeah, like I said, there's no federal police.
Governor Abbott. All this unemployment money, he cut that. He's like, man, no, we're not taking no more money from the federal government. We're going to cut this unemployment because we got more jobs in Texas than COVID cases. And so he cut that out. And I think it was just a few days ago, he made it mandatory, you know, that all these buildings, nobody can force anybody to wear a mask no more. That's over. You know, first one to walk in the building, if they don't want to wear a mask, that's on them. So that right now here in Texas, we don't have to wear a mask no more at all.
Well, yeah, that's right. Then the sad thing, they try to make you wear a mask when you're out in just the public. You can be out in the middle on the 50-yard line of a football field and they want you to wear a mask. They can't make you do that. And you know, the next thing, too, I see, Warren, is that they're trying to get children to take these damn vaccines. In St. Louis, they have pep rallies, raffles, you know, and many concerts, trying to get people, the children, high schoolers, to take these shots. And that's totally ridiculous.
Yeah, this whole thing is ridiculous. Because even Trump said, and they went off on Trump when he said this stuff come out of a laboratory in China. Now the evidence is coming back that it came out of a laboratory in China. You know, they try to pawn this stuff off on some kind of animals and stuff. No.
Trying to get you hooked up. Oh, what about the 9 billionaires or newly found billionaires that have profited off of the vaccines? And guess what three of them from? Three of them are from China.
Well, let's get our local expert on that. Hold on, Pianchi. 407, your mic is open.
Good morning, gentlemen, brothers, men. I just called to say happy birthday. I think this is your – is this your Earth Day, L.A.?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Earth Day like the Earth – the National Earth Day.
No, Earth Day.
Yeah, that was, what's today, the 20, what's today's date?
Today is the 20th.
Yeah, that was 3 days ago.
Oh, 3 days ago. Oh, sorry, I'm late. I'll send you an emoji belated birthday. Well, I hope you had a pleasant day. I knew your birthday was coming up the end of May, and I just wanted to chime in and say happy Earth Day. And yes, we are in a spiritual battle. They're coming after our children now. We all ought to be up in arms. It's really interesting how a lot of these black folks are going along with this program, this genocide depopulation program. And we who are awoke and conscious have to just allow them to make their stupid mistakes and just pray for our children and protect our children. My sons have taken this jab, and I was grieved about it for a while, but I'm like, I'm like, motherhood is over. It's time to be a friend and watch them make these choices and then move on. But my grandchildren, I'm trying to protect my grandchildren now. It's like they're coming after the younger group, and already the 12-year-olds are having inflamed heart symptoms. One young man is paralyzed on one side after this jab, and they still want to push this jab. Let's just stay awake and protect our children. That's what they're coming after next.
LeBron, now somebody in a press conference asked LeBron James about that, but he essentially gave no comment on whether he took the shot or not.
They probably not paying him enough yet. Nobody's going to speak up unless they've been paid, probably.
One of my associates, she took the shot, and she looked like she had been hit by a attack of bees. She came on Facebook to let everybody see how she looked. And, I mean, looked like she had been hit by Bell's palsy. Looked like 50,000 bees had hit her face. She had some kind of allergic reaction to that jump. So they can have that. I don't want any parts of that vaccine.
Yes, the thing is with these vaccines is that we know the best vaccine is that which is produced by your body. And when you have something that requires a vaccine, and I'm not no expert on, I'm not no scientist, but I try to use common sense. And you compare it to other things that you recognize. You do not need today your wisdom teeth. They can pull them out, and you get along just fine. Because that section in your mouth is not used for things that it was used before this species of human developed to where they are. Now you cook your food. Back then, they didn't cook food.
Yeah, but
you had canine
teeth.
Hang on for a second. Hang on. You had canine teeth. You don't need those canine teeth. Matter of fact, if you look in a person's mouth, in 2021 compared to those in 1940s, you see where canine teeth have just practically disappeared amongst humans. Another thing, the tailbone, right there where your waist meets your hip. It's a bone there that every now and then some kids are born with a protrusion, like an appendix, that sticks out because it used to be a tail in the species of human beings we are. You don't need that no more, so the body stopped making it. So it's the same thing with your immune system. If you give vaccines for something that the body will produce in your immune system, well, the body say, well, they don't need us messing with that no more. So it'll stop. Now what is it? You depended on pharmaceuticals.
We got to stop calling these jab vaccines. The ones they're pushing now are not your typical vaccines. That's where people are being fooled by that word. Oh, we gave vaccines to our children all these years, and it must be safe and effective. That's the bullshit they push in. These are experimental messenger RNA chemical injections. They're not vaccines. Don't stop. We got to stop using that word. That's what's fooling people. And these, and guess who the experiment is on humans? The pharaohs or the animals that they tested these things on are all dead now. So now they're doing the long-term side effect testing on humans. All these people, oh, I got the shot. I just felt a pain in my arm. That's all. I'm fine now. Well, let's see what happens in 6 months to a year, because that's what they usually do animal testing on. But humans are now the guinea pig. So stop calling them vaccines. That's not what they are. They're experimental messenger RNAs that are going to create all these spike proteins that are shut down people's immune systems. And that's what people are going to be awake to in 6 months to a year. So let's just wise up those who have already done it to get through the suffering. Wow. And they might die. We don't know. But they're not vaccines. That we got to stop calling them that. That's not what they are. They're experimental injections.
Well, some of them do go through the trial period where they are given the approval to be used. So you have to, you know, I know what you're saying, but you have to go by the normal way that they do things. You got emergency authorization, then you got those that have been approved for medical use, and those are called vaccines.
Well, yeah, I'm no scientist either, but I do know from what I've studied that it takes anywhere to create an effective vaccine, it takes anywhere from 7 to 18 years to create that. So that alone should cause concern when somebody come bring up some kind of so-called vaccine within a few months and injecting it into people, and pretty much there's no repercussion if the person dies or whatever. There's no repercussion on the company. So, oh, no, that's
yeah,
the right
yeah,
well,
this time, yeah. They've been immune from liability.
Yeah, so that was enough for me to not fool with it. And yet, furthermore, what I'm finding out, too, most black people have type O blood. What I'm finding out also is that most people with O blood is not even being affected by this stuff. You know, it's people with different blood types that, you know, are more so being affected than the O blood.
Well, you know, the thing is that what it is, it got people scared as hell. That's what. What people is easiest to scare? Educated folks or uneducated folks?
Uneducated
folks. People that's uneducated, mm-hmm. is easy to scare into doing things that if they was educated, they wouldn't do it.
Uh-huh. It's true.
Now, it may not be the sole reason, Warren, but it sure is one of the promising reasons. Why do you turn the lights on when you go in the basement? Because you're scared.
You gotta see. I don't know what's down there.
Well, on that note, gentlemen, we're gonna wrap it up for today. Tomorrow.
Hang on for a second.
Okay.
Hang on for a second. There's some more things to talk about. I keep telling
you.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead. It's
cut off on that Move Mountain, and we have more time to get to these other issues. I see where many states are coming out.
I cut out 15 minutes this morning. Started a little bit early.
Yeah, I see where states are starting to come around against this critical race theory also. That there's another thing that these liberals and these leftists are trying to push. And once again, the federal government has no authority to require school districts, whereas the state constitution gives school districts and the people of those school districts to have whatever the heck they want, as long as the children are being educated in the minimum basic standards. And you got people that's going to the school board meetings and raising hell because you got principals and teachers that's inserting this in their classroom studies themselves, and the parents don't like it. I damn don't blame them for liking it either. I think it was in Virginia you had Chinese Americans come out with a big protest against critical race theory. And if you read some of the bullet points that was in the particular one they was talking about, you wouldn't want your child to be exposed to that stuff anyway. It's nothing other than about hate.
Oh. Yep.
Nothing except about hate. And if you could read something that says that it goes back to that old Marxist, Lenin, and Foucault theories. Justice is about equal rights, but social justice or equity is about equal outcomes. Only social justice matters. Justice does not. To achieve equal outcomes, forget equal rights. Then it goes on here. It says, all blacks are oppressed and all whites are oppressors. This is systemic. Never ask whether oppression occurred, only how it occurred. Everyone and everything white is complicit. Now, who the hell want their kids be talking some crazy mess like that?
Yeah, that's off the wall.
Then you got states that's going on and passing constitutional carry. Louisiana, of course, Texas had it for a while. And I think that's a good thing, too, because Joe Biden tried to have where police can go into your house and take your guns without a warrant. And you had a unanimous decision at the Supreme Court. All nine justices said, nope, can't do that.
Well, I'm so glad because, you know, they tried to make Trump out to be a dictator. But if anybody's acting like a dictator, Biden is this man has signed more executive orders than any president in United States history. You know, as far as trying to bypass the Senate and the House on getting things passed, he just going in there signing executive orders and getting, you know, hell with the process.
Absolutely. Then they putting out these fictitious jobs claims, and at the same time you're bringing in all these illegals and undocumented people. I wonder where in the hell they're going to be. If artificial intelligence is scheduled to remove 40-50% of the present jobs by 2025, well, where are you going to do with these people that's coming in don't have no skills whatsoever?
And Pianki, what about the $15 an hour minimum wage he's trying to get? That's ridiculous in my opinion.
And then, too, we look at the failure that's going on in these schools. Now we're doing some study on some schools over here around the country and also in Illinois. And it made me think about when they was wanting to take the names of soldiers that happened to fall for the Confederacy. They fought for many other wars, too. Names off a school building. And also in St. Louis area, Normandy School allowed its high school to have a ceremony for the anniversary of George Floyd. Well, hell, when you look at the Normandy School District, which is all black, you got a graduation rate that's 70-74%. The math proficiency is 5%. Reading proficiency is 10-14%. Them kids need to be in the damn building doing their work. But check this. Look at East St. Louis Senior High School. It used to have a national known football team. It's got 99% minority, graduation rate 78%. But the math proficiency is less than 1%, Warren. Reading is 3%.
Hmm.
Where in the heck is
well,
these kids?
That doesn't even exist that low. How do they even have a 78% graduation rate?
I don't know. Is it a black district?
That's not making any sense.
This is a black district.
1 and 2%.
But check this out. In Louisiana, they got some schools that's named after Andrew Jackson and Robert E. Lee. And they have a majority black population in these schools. They got a higher graduation rate than the schools that's named after Louis Armstrong and Mahalia Jackson. And the students are performing higher in math and reading than their counterparts that's going to these schools that's named after black folks.
Wow.
So, L.A., how do you account for that?
I don't. I have no idea.
All right. I wanted to get those 2 points out.
I had
Stonewall
no idea.
Jackson. Wait a minute. Stonewall Jackson. Of course, now the math proficient is 80%. Reading proficient is 90 to 94% in that school district. I'm going to go ahead and continue on doing this, finding schools that's majority black, that's doing well, and look at the name of the school building and see how that comes on. Because you got some movements to rename schools because they was named after somebody that was a member of the Confederacy.
Hmm.
Booker T. Washington, New Technology High School, Louisiana, 999 students. You got 99% minority, which is mean black. Graduation rate, 86%. The math proficiency, 20%. Reading proficiency, 35 to 39%. They're in the bottom 50% in reading, bottom 50% in math, the bottom 50% in overall testing. And it's named after Booker T. Washington. Robert E. Lee, 464 students. Minority enrollment, about 75%. Math proficiency, 63%. Reading proficiency, right at 80%, the top 30% of the state. Difference there. See, one thing people can't argue. Huh?
How old are those schools, you know?
I don't know how old you are. It was here when I got here. Chicago Technology Academy High School, Illinois, 241 students. Teacher ratio, 11 students per teacher to one teacher. Minority enrollment, 97% black. Now, here they got a 95% graduation rate, but their overall testing rank in the bottom 50%. And like Warren say, the math proficiency is 10%. Reading proficiency, 11 to 19%. So how in the heck do you have a technology academy and you got a graduation rate of 95%? But hell, your kids can't read and can't do math.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, please, somebody tell me, how in the heck you pull this off? You know what's going on? Somebody's lying. And it's them damn teachers that's gerrymandering the numbers, and they need to go to jail on this stuff. I bet if you look into this a little bit further, you find some corruption going on. And it's doing a disservice to these children.
Yeah.
It's about like you showing up at a movie theater to see James Bond, they tell you, well, hell, that ain't showed in 2 years. That ticket ain't no good. Worse
you know,
to see Superfly.
One thing we have,
I like the idea of freedom, but one thing that definitely should be mandated in this country, and that's education. That should be a must.
You're right.
For all children.
That's a national security issue right there. How many engineering degrees students are China put out a year? 10 million? That there is a threat. China's officials, all of them at the government level, are supposed to be engineers.
You know that. I like the way you put that, Warren. Even if you break it down to subgroups, that is not only a national security issue, but we can, for the sake of this conversation, black folks really, we need to get more on board. But what would be the curriculum? Because I think
the curriculum
is
about what the people, it's about what's needed.
Okay, well, I think civics is needed.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what's needed.
That is needed.
I didn't have to go to the Vietnam War because the State Department said that I'm better used here in my city because of they had a shortage in a certain industry.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to go to Vietnam. Even though Nixon came and done away with the draft, that was good timing. Same thing during World War II. After
I don't
Japan,
know how it could be written up because, you know, the opportunity we have of freedom. But some kind of way, this needs to be written up where education is mandatory for every child. It shouldn't be, you know, the freedom to drop out or the freedom to do nothing. No, it should be mandated that education is a must. We have to get kids educated and get through school. Because that's one thing that's killing this country.
You're absolutely right. You got foreigners that's coming in to do jobs and professions that Americans don't apply for, that don't qualify for. And it ain't just blacks, it's whites too. You got some white kids that's being misused in this system too. And here's another thing too. Got to talk about this. This is another disservice. Here it is. And, Viata, you need to talk about this. The discrimination that goes on in testing in private institutions on the SAT. You can't do this in a public institution because they would call it discrimination. Black students are spotted 310 points on the SAT. Hispanics are spotted 130 points on the SAT. Asians are deducted a minus 140 points on the SAT. It's saying here that that means Asians have to score 140 points above whites, 270 above Hispanics, and 450 points above blacks on the SAT. So what's going on is that this promotion and you getting these spots in order to get into these universities is not based on merits. It's based on this lopsided view, social view, that's being taken into account. Well, what neighborhood you grow up in? How many libraries within a certain area? What kind of vest did you have? Wholesome food and vegetables? Or you in a food desert? What kind of crazy mess is that?
Yeah.
That's some serious stuff right there. Then, see, you can do this stuff at this point. But when that child go out there to try to compete, they're not going to be able to compete. Another thing, they're expunging criminal records because they say people can't even get a house, apartment, and so on, so on, so on. So they come up with these crazy bills. Okay, let me tell you how that's circumvented. Warren, I know when you was born. You put that down there, the date. Warren, you tell me when you graduated from high school. You put that down. That there should be about, what, 19 years of your life. 12 high school. You went to school at 5 or 7. So let's say 19. Warren, you went to college to get your graduate degree. That should be 4 to 6 years. All right. Warren, who have you worked for in the last 10 to 15 years? Well, that right there, when you say you don't put down anybody, you can't give us a reference. So what is that telling your employer? You are about to lie or not telling all the truth. You don't have to have no felon box on the application. They can figure it out. So you got politicians coming along and say, oh, yeah, and I just worked hard to get where you, if you were ever a felon, you ain't got to tell it on your application so you can get a house and a job. Well, that's not true. Anybody that can do some simple computation math can figure that out. All right, that's all I got to say. I'm going to get my oyster plate.
Okay. All right, everyone, have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. All right.